a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. He hunted alligator for a living. He just knock him in the head with a stump. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos.
It ain't legal. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. So come on the program about an hour from now. We'll hear from April Marie Fogle, Alabama Today, and News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. And then we do, as we do every Friday, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, will be with us. That is in the 11 o'clock hour, so please stay tuned for that. Joining us now, rolled out an effort with State Senator April Weaver and some others, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth. Good time. You've heard a lot about good time in state politics lately, but State Representative Russell Betzel joins us on the line. Talk a little bit about what they would like to do, the change of how that is structured in Alabama's prisons. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff, and good morning to everyone down in the south part of our state. And I know I don't have to tell anyone there that you don't want to miss any time that Senator Chris Elliott is going to be with you. It's always going to be entertaining, as I've learned with him. So thank you for this opportunity to share a little bit about our efforts related to what they call correctional good time or correctional incentive time.
I believe I would say Senator Elliott probably agrees with you on those remarks. But yeah, we do appreciate you coming on and taking time to talk to us about this. Well, first before we get into that, this is you came in mid-quadrennium. Now you know you're now elected and you're starting on a brand new quadrennium. But how's it been going so far as a member of the legislature?
Yeah, it's been a fantastic experience. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, as you know, I serve as a member of the law enforcement community and have been doing so for nearly 25 years. This effort to serve the citizens of our state is just an extension of that. It's just service, and it's been a fantastic experience. It's not without its trials sometimes, and, you know, honestly, there's things sometimes I think that are just good old-fashioned common sense in our state that I'm learning that don't always appear that way. So but it's been a great experience, and looking forward to taking on this project here related to correctional good time.
So, and you know, we've heard a lot from Sarah Weaver about this. She was on our program a couple of weeks ago, kind of told about what got her this right in front of her driveway there. But you, just by virtue of being the experience of law enforcement, knowing kind of some of the individuals that are incarcerated and what they're capable of, and that we need to be a little more judicious with our good time law. I mean, what led you to take up this cause?
Yeah, you know, and even a step further, so I'll start with this. The majority of my 25-year career in law enforcement was related to the enforcement actions on the street, apprehending criminals. But since 2015, I have had the pleasure of serving in leadership at the Shelby County Jail. And since 2018, I've served as the jail commander. Certainly, I have a level of understanding of what it means to effectively run a facility that is aimed at holding offenders inside of our facility, with our mission being at the order of the court, holding them until the time that they have their day in court, to go before a judge and find out their fate. And so this particular topic is not foreign to me. And then you add to that the tragic day that Deputy Brad Johnson was killed. I was driving home to my home here in Shelby County and heard the call for assistance go out there in our neighboring county of Bibb County. And that is part of my district. And without hesitation, I felt like the right thing to do, not necessarily as a legislator, but as a law enforcement brother, was to respond to the scene, knowing that they were going to need all the help they can get. And so I arrived that afternoon, and I, like hundreds of law enforcement officers from around this area, converged to try to apprehend the person who did this to Deputy Johnson. And so I certainly do have a personal and emotional connection as I saw the faces of the fellow Bibb County deputies as they were dealing with the tragic loss of a hero that was doing everything he could to protect our citizens and keep them from being victimized again and again by an individual like the one who committed this horrible crime on Deputy Johnson.
What went wrong here? I mean, what would the good time idea? I mean, I understand you need some kind of motivation, incentive for good behavior inside the walls of a prison to get the population to go along with that. But lately that and maybe some other things that are being used to maybe reduce sentences, but kind of abused, haven't they? I mean, is it just in the name of trying to reduce that prison population, you think?
Yeah, I want to be clear. You know, as a law enforcement officer, I've tried my best to not criticize another agency that I consider a part of our team. And the Department of Corrections, they get their fair share of criticism. And it's not anyone's fault that's necessarily serving in leadership today, or it's certainly not the fault of the men and women that are serving inside the facilities. You know, for far too long in our state, we've kicked the can down the road on what we knew was and is problems inside of our correction system. And so since I've been serving as a member of the Alabama House of Representatives, what I've noticed is a trend that I really, as a person who has taken an oath to protect and serve my community, it's a trend that over and over again, under the title of prison reform, what we're actually doing is just finding new ways to release inmates early back out into the street. And that trend has continued. And so somewhere along the lines, we have forgot about the victim. And many of these victims agonize over the day that the person that offended against them is going to get out of prison. And, you know, when we start applying absurd good time or correctional incentive time rules along with some of the sentencing, and then, you know, on the heels of what happened a couple weeks ago with the mass release of really some truly violent offenders on the street and under ankle monitoring, we've sped that clock up. That where at least the victims knew they had a little time to prepare themselves, and now all of a sudden these inmates are churned through the system quickly and then back out on the street. And I'll add this. Look, I am not advocating for a lock them up and throw away the key, because I see in a system in which that I operate daily that if you do corrections the right way and you offer quality medical care, mental health care, you can do education and rehabilitation efforts, we can put these individuals back on the street and they'll be productive. But when we shorten their sentences down in an effort like we're doing now to decrease prison population, we're not having an opportunity to do that. Where they're in the prison, they're barely getting acclimated, and then they're back in on the street. So I feel like we're setting the inmates up for failure. And I think, honestly, if we think about it, we're failing them as well. And so we need to do a better job in how we do and administer the corrections in our state.
Is this something that's got to be done kind of incrementally here, that, you know, you work on good time and then maybe you work on mental health, are we ever going to get to a point, do you think, where it's just, we're just going to have to overhaul or talk about, you know, you always hear about truth in sentencing and things like that when it comes to criminal justice reform. Right now, Representative, just seems like the people that are kind of anti-prison kind of dominate the discussion in that space. Is this something that can be kind of corrected in piecemeal? Or do we start thinking bigger picture?
It's ironic to me that there's groups out there that fought so hard against the construction of new prisons, knowing that that new, well-constructed prison where you can effectively manage inmates is only going to make the situation better for the individuals inside. I mean, we're not going to turn a blind eye to the laws that are being broken in our state. And you know, my belief is that the intent of the judge should be followed, and these individuals should be in a correction system as long or as close to that intent as possible. But we shouldn't be deterred by the mountain of tasks that we need to accomplish to correct our correctional system. We should be willing to take on each of those and address them, whether it's the topic of mental health and having counselors in our facility that can address it, and or the facilities themselves, all the way down to the pay in which that we're paying the correction officers. So there's a mountain of issues, but I really am not one that are deterred by that. I think that you can take on a couple of those tasks as we go and not necessarily have to do it incrementally, but if we really dedicate ourselves to doing it, and if the members of the House and Senate are serious about doing it, you know, I'm certainly happy to lead the way, but let's take this on and incarcerate individuals in our state the way that I know the people of Alabama expect things to be done. And I think that we're not meeting those expectations. And there's enough blame to go around for everybody here, and we need to get the job done.
Joined by State Representative Russell Betzel of Alabaster here on the program. Representative, so the problem with prisons, at least to maybe in my lifetime, up until this point, I would say, but it's never been a Republican issue. Now, Republicans have only had the legislature since 2011 and, well, late 2010. But, you know, it's been a third rail for Republican politicians to talk about prisons. But I kind of wonder if that maybe that has changed or it needs to change now that, you know, we want to put such an emphasis on public safety, on law enforcement, on our law enforcement officers, that if we're going to be supporting and backing that, you got to have a place to put bad people. And that's why it might behoove Republicans to be more politically favorable toward prison construction.
Well, I think you're right on a few of those areas for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, we can't find ways to decriminalize things or continue to find ways to let people out early. We have to address this topic with what it is. The individuals that are committing the crime need to be held accountable, and we need to have a way to effectively do that. And, you know, there's so much attention today with the topic of mental health, as it should be, and the effects it has on individuals that commit these crimes. And I'll say that, along with substance abuse, seems to be a predominant factor when you look at many of these people that are incarcerated. And so I think for me that with my experience and background, I see an opportunity for us in the state to really do great things to help these individuals. So, you know, that's, again, why I want to emphasize, this is not about just incarcerating every people and mass incarceration. That topic gets used, or that word, the phrase gets used. But the opportunity, when someone commits a crime, the idea is you hold them accountable. And while you're holding them accountable, you have an opportunity to educate and rehabilitate, offer a medical and mental health care. And that whole system together can work. But we're not doing it very well. We're simply putting people into the prison system. And because of our limitations, where we don't have the space, perhaps we don't have the staffing, we're simply holding there for a period of time, and we're just putting them right back out in society. And somehow we're magically expecting them to be reformed or rehabilitated. And we haven't really done our part to make that happen as well. So, again, like I said, there's enough, quote-unquote, blame to go around for everybody. But I think there's a pathway and a solution here in which we could do a lot better job.
So you mentioned mental health a few times in this conversation, and you know, the layman, and I consider myself a layman, it's just, we just need to build more prisons and have more space to put bad people. But you talk about mental health, and that's such a broad term. You're a guy that the commander of the Shelby County Jail, I guess you kind of know what might be required here. When we say mental health, can you kind of talk about that and what you think that means?
Yeah, you know, mental health, the broad range and spectrum of what we look at and see every day inside of our facility really is a microcosm of what's happening in our society. And so you walk into the end to see the individuals inside the facility that I get to lead, and it's not plainly obvious who has mental health issues or not. And now, there are some individuals in there, I can tell you by their behavior, that you can only explain what they're doing, because they have to be suffering from some kind of mental health disorder. Their actions are just so atrocious. But the idea here is not for me as a professional in the law enforcement community and my experience is how to manage inmates. But what we do is bring in mental health professionals into our facility, and we let them be the experts on it. So we facilitate helping move the inmates and engaging our mental health counselors, while the mental health counselors do all the work. And so they're the experts in that field. They're the ones who can work with the inmates to determine the diagnosis, to offer one-on-one counseling services, perhaps working with a psychiatric physician or nurse practitioner. They can offer various drugs that will help them in their behavior to bring them back to a sense of reality. Because you have to believe that some people who commit these crimes, if they were having a true sense of reality, they wouldn't have committed the crimes they were committing. And so that's why I say over and over again that mental health, along with our bad addiction problems we're battling in our society, those what we're finding are common links and bonds in many of the people in jails. They'll tell you that they committed the crimes because they wanted to get their next high. They maybe committed the crimes while they're high. And so when you talk about those co-occurring type topics, it seems to be a trend over and over. So again, you know, not being afraid to let mental health professionals come into your facility and offer these services to our inmates. And I'm not saying that's not being done on the state level, but I'm certainly saying that if we do a better job there, we'll probably have better outcomes.
And it sounds like just such a big component of that is just substance abuse and trying to figure out a solution there, that is a big space in the mental health discussion.
Yeah. Well, you know, the great Nancy Reagan, the wife of President Ronald Reagan, you know, she started the Just Say No campaign back in the 80s. And, you know, I've remarked numerous times as I interact with inmates, because, you know, you talk to a lot of them and they don't necessarily want to be addicted to anything, but for one circumstance or another, they found themselves in that spot. But if it was just as easy as Nancy Reagan set out to be, just say no, I think that, you know, our prisons and jails wouldn't have as many offenders in it, but we know that it's not. Now, that aside, again, I go back to that while I know we have work to do to help these offenders with their rehabilitation efforts, mental health counseling services, or whatever it might be, we still have to hold them accountable. But we can't excuse their behavior just because they have a mental health issue. We can't excuse their behavior just because they were under the influence of a drug. What we will do, I think, is we should hold them inside of a facility at the order of the court, and then we'll offer them services to help them be more productive citizens. That should be the goal, and that's why they call it corrections. It's not just about the incarceration piece. Along with incarceration, you have to have education and rehabilitation, and that's the goal of the state correction system in every state, and that should be our goal as well.
Representative, you've been very, very kind to make time for us this morning. Best of luck to you in your effort, and hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks. We hardly touched on the Deputy Brad Johnson Act, but we certainly are calling on all citizens who believe that correctional good time or incentive time should only be for those who are good inside the prison system, and recognize that our current structure offers more good time days than the state of California offers to their inmates. And so with this bill that Senator Weaver and I are carrying, we hope to correct that and offer a very fair system that allows the opportunity for inmates to earn some good time along the way. But at the end of the day, they must be good to earn that good time. So thank you, Jeff, for this opportunity.
Hey, thanks for making time. State Representative Russell Betzel there on the program. We got to get a break. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.